Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda and you're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible for everyone. Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is a very beautiful and powerful opportunity for learning and spiritual growth in the life of a Muslim. Therefore, Qalam has put together amazing resources for you and your family, your community to benefit from in the month of Ramadan, from a webinar on how to prepare to recitation of the entire Quran, the meaning and the message of the whole Quran, the du'as from the Quran, special webinars and events in regards to the Battle of Badr, the last 10 nights and Laylatul Qadr, and so much more. We're very excited and happy to bring you all of this Ramadan programming. Be a part of the good work that we are doing at Qalam, educating Muslims, educating people all around the world by going to supportqalam.com. Donate, contribute, give generously, and have your share in the Sadaqa Jariya and the amazing work that is going on. Supportqalam, QALAM.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. All right, bismillahi walhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, everyone. Welcome back to another session of our nightly reflection series, Forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're here during the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan. Ustaz Abdul Rahman and I get on here. We take a verse or a few verses from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then reflect on them. And the verses that we've been choosing are centered around the idea, the theme of the mercy and the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So today we are going to be covering Surah chapter number 57, which is called Suratul Hadid. And verse number, we're going to be starting the discussion mainly centering the conversation around verse number 28, inshallah. All right. We'll have a conversation around it. There are some verses earlier in the surah that I find very fascinating. So we'll talk about that. But this is the one verse that, inshallah, we're going to be building the whole conversation from, chapter 57, verse number 28. Inshallah, binillah.
Okay, sure. So I'll read it and then you want to explain?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is again, I just posted it, 57:28. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ittaqullaha wa aminu bi rasulihi yu'tikum kiflaini min rahmatihi. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ نُورًا تَمْشُونَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, that O you who believe, that have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and believe in his messenger, he will grant you double the share of his mercy or from his mercy, and he will provide you with nur, light, that you will be able to walk in. And he will forgive you. Verily, Allah Ta'ala is the most forgiving, the most merciful. So this verse is discussing or describing the reward that people get in their submission to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala and in their acceptance of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Shaykh Abdul Nasser will give us a little bit of context as far as maybe some of the background of the verse and how this rahmah, this mercy of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, this forgiveness and this nur, this light from Allah, are the fruits of being able to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Very good. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls on all of us here, the believers, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, ittaqullah, right? Be conscious of God, think of Allah, be connected to Allah, wa aminu bi rasulihi, and believe in the messenger of God, right? Which is very interesting because we also have to believe in Allah, but being conscious of Allah, having the awareness of Allah, already assumes the idea that obviously you believe in Allah, but also believe in the messenger of Allah. And if you do that, يؤتكم كفلين من رحمته. He will give you two protections of his mercy, two, you know, shields of his mercy. Now, what does this exactly mean? All right, before I talk about the next part, نُورًا تَمْشُونَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ. So, there are two explanations for this, okay? Number one was when this verse was revealed in the Medinan era, in the Medinan period, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated from Mecca to Medina and went there. The Muslims all followed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam there as well. And basically what happened at that point in time was there was the Jewish community in Medina. And so at that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, believe in Allah, be conscious of God, and believe in the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you do that, if you do this, basically what will happen is Allah will grant you two loads of his mercy. Now, that so first of all, it's addressing those who are not Muslim. Maybe they believed in God, right? Mm-hmm. They were Christian, they were Jew, they believed in God generally, but they didn't believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so it's saying, believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then Allah will grant you his mercy. But the scholars of tafsir, Ustad and I were just talking about it before going live, they also address that. This also was speaking to the Muslims and the believers, basically saying that you have accepted Islam, but you need that iman to enter into your heart. As Allah reminds us in another place in the Quran, that when the Bedouins came and they said, Amanna, we believe. Allah said, قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَكِنْ قُلُوا أَسَلْنَا. Don't say you believe, but rather say that you've submitted, you've entered, you've accepted Islam. So here Allah is saying that if you internalize what you say you believe in, then Allah will grant you these two layers of mercy. Now, what does the word kifl mean, actually? What's very interesting is that the word kifl basically means like a portion or a share, but the scholars specifically say that the word kifl was used by the ancient Arabs to refer to when they would put like a sheet or a saddle on the back of a camel. And that's like a layer of protection so that you don't slip or fall off the camel. So putting something on the back of the camel that would give you traction, that would maybe also create some cushion. It would protect you. It would keep you safe. It would, they specifically say, يَحْفَظُكُمْ مِنَ السُّقُوتِ. It'll prevent you from falling off the back of the camel because it gives you a little bit of traction. So because it's a layer of protection, Allah is saying Allah will give you not one, but two layers of protection. And then, وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ نُورًا. And then once that Islam, once that Quran, once the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ, that enters into your heart, it becomes like a source of light for you. تَمْشُونَ بِهِ. And you can walk around with it. What's the idea there? The idea there is, think about if you're walking around in the dark. You don't know where you're going. You're running into things. You're stubbing your toe. You're tripping and falling on things. You can get seriously hurt. But then if you have light, if you got a flashlight or you got your phone, right away, what do we do instinctually now? We go outside at night or we have to go into the attic or something. Right away, instinctually, we turn on that little flashlight on our phone, right? And then you know exactly where you're going. Think about the confidence that you have when you have a flashlight. Think about how the sense of security and, you know, safety that you have once you have a flashlight. So this revelation, this message, this Islam will become a light for you. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ. And Allah will forgive you. وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. So one of the things that, you know, kind of to think about and reflect on is that يُؤْتِكُمْ كِفْلَيْنِ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ. Many of the scholars of tafsir, like Imam al-Qurtubi and others, they say that Allah will grant you protection in this world, that by, you know, coming closer to Allah, believing in Allah, believing in the Messenger of Allah, following the guidance from Allah, following the example of the Messenger of Allah, it will actually protect you from a lot of trouble in this dunya. It will protect you from a lot of trouble, a lot of difficulty, a lot of adversity, a lot of tragedy in this dunya. Okay? And number two, it'll also provide you, of course, the protection in the life of the hereafter. So that's what it's essentially talking about.
Ustaz? You know, one of the interesting things that came to my mind, Sheikh, is this whole idea of, you know, forgiveness, maghfirah, is obviously, you know, it's inextricable from Allah's rahmah. You can't really separate the two, because the almost like the consequence or the fruit of Allah's rahmah is His maghfirah, is his forgiveness. So because Allah is so merciful, His forgiveness is something that's so accessible to everybody. And interestingly here, Allah Ta'ala, He ties together His rahmah with believing in Him, but not only Him, but with His messenger. And this is something that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but this is something that especially in our times, you know, Sheikh, you know, you and I have talked about this a few times, but when it comes to the different perspectives on religion, internally and also externally, whether it's like intra-faith, like how we talk about our faith, or how we talk about faith with other faith groups, one of the things that, subhanAllah, it's a little bit disappointing is the casualness with which we discuss the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is that, you know, we'll be sitting in an interfaith gathering and people will say things like, we all believe in the same thing. Mm-hmm. And that's not accurate, actually. No. I mean, how can you stand on the Day of Judgment and look at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and say that you told people that?
Yeah.
I mean, this is the person who stood in the night and cried with his hands open, saying "Ummati, Ummati," over and over again, worried about your fate. And you know, we so quickly forget that. And I know people don't intend to erase the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from our discourse, but when we try so hard to match with people to the point where we don't highlight the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a key point of our belief and our faith, then it becomes offensive. It's okay for us to say that we don't believe in the same thing. We have a lot of similar beliefs, but there is a person that we believe in as a messenger of God who, quite honestly, quite frankly, you cannot explain Islam without mentioning his name.
Yes.
And you'll never hear the Christian community ignore Jesus.
No.
Right? And so I feel like even internally, even, you know, within our community, it's interesting here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in the Quran, I mean, this is part of when you study the sunnah and you study, you know, the authority of the sunnah and the ulum behind hadith and kind of understanding how hadith are its own legal body. One thing that you learn is the love that Allah has for the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has so much love for the Messenger of Allah. He has so much love for him. And so much so that, you know, Mufti Taqi, I think he mentions, I don't know, like 20 times in his book that there's 20 different examples of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, you know, ta'a of himself and then ta'a of Rasul right after.
Absolutely.
Ati Allahu ati Rasul. You know, obey Allah and obey the messenger. Ati Allahu wa Rasulahu. And to obey Allah and his messenger, like immediately. So here in this verse, what do we see? We see what? Aminu. We see ittaqullaha wa aminu bi rasulihi. Believe in his messenger. And what does Allah say elsewhere in the Quran? وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. So it's interesting. Allah is saying, believe in the messenger. And then another place he says, you, O messenger of Allah, are mercy. Allah Ta'ala is telling everybody, if you don't acknowledge the unique, special place that the Prophet ﷺ has in your life and your belief, you're missing out on a whole lot of mercy.
SubhanAllah.
Because if you don't have him in your life, where do you get the examples and the model and the guidance on how to be merciful and how to receive mercy, mm-hmm. right? من لا يرحم لا يرحم. That whoever doesn't show mercy will not be given mercy. So the Prophet ﷺ's model doesn't only teach us how to be merciful, but by being merciful, we receive mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Absolutely.
Right? That irhamu man fil ard yahmukum man fis sama, that, you know, be merciful to those who are on the earth, Allah Ta'ala will have the one who is in the sky and the heavens will be merciful to you. Mm. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the conduit of mercy. If we don't believe in him and revere him and study his life and get to know him and really fall in love with his him and his story and his character, we're missing out on so much. And if we just gloss over him in explaining Islam to other people, or explaining Islam to, you know, even our own families, or having discussions, if we just kind of gloss over him, you know, this whole like, oh, hadith aren't real, or like it's only Quran and this and that, it's just so much that we're losing from the mercy of this deen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here says it very clearly to us when he says that, Aminu bi rasulihi yu'tikum kiflaini min rahmatihi. That if you believe in Allah, if you have, you know, taqwa of Allah, and if you believe in his messenger, then you're going to be certified, and you will be given double the amount of his mercy, for or double the amount of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection from his mercy. And then as a result of that, you'll be given this light. And Shaykh, as you mentioned, you know, light is something that gives you confidence, it gives you security. If you don't have light, you don't feel safe, even if you know what the room looks like. Mm-hmm. Let's say you've been in the room a million times before, but if you don't have light, if it's pitch black in the room, you still don't feel very comfortable, even though you can probably tell me exactly where every couch is, every table is, but you just still don't feel comfortable because light allows you to see things. And so Allah Ta'ala is telling us that you're going to have this light, this belief in Allah and his messenger is going to give you the ability to see things clearly, right? Allahumma arinil haqqa haqqa wa razuqna ittiba'a. Oh Allah, show me truth is truth and allow me, give me the provision to follow it, right? This idea of being able to see things as true when they're true is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And oh Allah, allow me to see falsehood as falsehood, wa razuqna ittiba'a, and allow me to be able to stay away from it. So this verse is encompassing not only the forgiveness and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next life, but how that forgiveness and mercy affects us in this life.
And the light that you're referencing, that's what I was commenting on in the beginning, that there is earlier on in the surah, Allah does actually tell us what the experience of that light is going to be. Verse number 12 in the same surah, surah number 57, verse number 12, for anyone who wants to follow along. Allah says, يَوْمَ تَرَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ, the day you'll see the believing men and the believing women. يَسْعَى نُورُهُمْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ, they'll have this glowing light in front of them and on the right of them. بُشْرَاكُمُ الْيَوْمَ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِيَ الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ, they'll be flying at the speed of light with this light guiding them, and they'll be told, like it'll be said to them while they are speeding by, that congratulations to you today, for you are about to enter the gardens of paradise, that there are streams flowing from beneath them, and you will reside therein for all of eternity. And this is the ultimate success. That is the ultimate success. But then Allah says that there's the other side of the coin. يَوْمَ يَقُولُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتُ لِلَّذِينَ أَمَنُوا, but there will be the hypocrite men and believers. What Ustad was talking about, people who, you know, hypocrisy, we're all supposed to constantly check ourselves, but hypocrisy is also a very severe thing. These are people who, you know, deliberately, feign being Muslim, but they have an ulterior motive and agenda. So they'll be saying, لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, they'll say to the believers, seeing them, these just beacons of light speeding by, and they'll say to them, أُنْدُرُونَا, wait for us. نَقْتَبِسْ مِنْ نُورِكُمْ, let us borrow some of your light, just a little bit. Let's just have a little bit of it. قِيل, an announcement will be made. اِرْجِعُوا وَرَاءَكُمْ فَالْتَمِسُوا نُورًا. Right? Go back to the life of the world, because that's where you get that light. It's kind of like if I'm on, you know, if I'm on a trip, I'm on a journey, right? Where we go somewhere and we're hiking. Let's use that example. We're hiking and I didn't charge my phone. Ustad charged his phone. For the record, it's usually the other way around. But I didn't charge my phone, but Ustad charged his phone. Okay. Now I'm like, hey, can I borrow your phone? I need to make a call. Can I borrow your phone? I want to take a picture. Can I borrow your phone? I need to check my email. Can I borrow your phone? Can I borrow your phone? And I keep on saying that over and over again. And at some point, Ustad is like, if you wanted to use your phone, you shouldn't charge your phone. So an announcement.
Just for the record, I would never say that for the record.
For the record. Also for the record. We're setting the record straight here tonight.
Yeah, let's just say it Probably no mom might say that.
So, they're going to be told, you got to go back to life of the world. That's where you were supposed to get the light. Hmm. You're supposed to charge your phone at home so that you could use it now. You're supposed to get that light in the dunya so that you would have it here on the day of judgment, on the day of resurrection. The most difficult moment humanity, creation has ever experienced. But obviously we know that that's not possible. فَضُرِبَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِسُورٍ لَهُ بَابٌ. This wall, huge wall, will come crashing down, separating these two groups of people. But there will be a door where the conversation will continue. بَاطِنُهُ فِيهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. On one side, there will be the mercy of God with the believers. وَظَاهِرُهُ مِنْ قِبِلِهِ الْعَذَابِ. On the other side will be the punishment of Allah. May Allah protect us all. And then in verse number 14, it says, يُنَادُونَهُمْ أَلَمْ نَكُمْ مَعَكُمْ. Then those hypocrites will say to the believers, hey, weren't we together in the life of the world? We shopped at the same grocery stores. We went to the same markets. Our kids went to the same schools. قَالُوا بَلَى. They'll say, yeah. وَلَكِنَّكُمْ فَتَنْتُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Number one, you fooled yourself. You deluded yourself. Oh, that's not important. This not important. Oh, I'll do this some other time. I'll do that some other moment. وَتَرَبَّصْتُمْ. And then you kept putting it off, delaying. وَرْتَبَتُمْ. And then eventually you just started like developing weird doubts and weird thoughts and ideas. And Ustad always talks about this. I noticed Ustad always talks about this. Whenever he's talking about like sometimes the issues of faith and a lot of the confusion or, you know, even crisis people have, he says faith is experiential. If you keep trying to argue, I don't understand why I should pray, but then you haven't prayed for years and years, and now you're like, prayer doesn't make sense to me. Yeah, it doesn't make sense to you because you don't pray. You know, وَغَرَّتْكُمُ الْأَمَانِيُّ. And then your wishful thinking got the best of you. حَتَّى جَاءَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ وَغَرَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. Until the decree of Allah came, and now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, put you in the category where you are now, where you lost. فَالْيَوْمَ لَا يُؤْخَذُ. Verse 15. So today, no ransom will be accepted from you. وَلَا مِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Nor from the people who disbelieved. مَأْوَاكُمُ النَّارِ. You will end up in the fire of hell. May Allah protect us all. هِيَ مَوْلَاكُمْ وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرُ. That is where you belong, and that's the worst place anyone can be. But then Allah says, brings us right back to hope. Ustad was commenting on this in one of the earlier sessions. Whenever you got something heavy that comes, Allah brings the light right back into the conversation. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Verse 16, أَلَمْ يَأْنِنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Has the time not come? We're sitting here at 2 a.m. in the middle of the night, on a Friday night. 2 a.m., middle of the night, talking about Allah. You keep waiting for something to happen. You keep waiting for something to come to you. You keep waiting for something. You're here. Has the time not come? For those who believe, أَنْ تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرَ. That your heart would move with the remembrance of God. That you're feeling this discussion about Allah's mercy. وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. In the Qur'an. We're talking about the Qur'an. وَلَا يَكُنُوا كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَطَالَ عَلَيْهُمُ الْأَمَدُ فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. That there were people that came before who had prophets and messengers and revelation and all that. They ignored it. And their hearts became hardened. And the truth wouldn't penetrate through anymore. وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. And they just kept on living their lives. And we were talking about this yesterday. Verse number 17, Allah says, no one is too far gone. اِعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِي الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. That, always remember, know this for a fact. Allah can revive the earth after it has died. Right? We had winter. Everything died. The leaves fell off the tree. The grass dried and shriveled up. Everything died. Mm-hmm. And then go look outside. It's green and it's lush and it's brilliant and it's beautiful. Allah can bring the earth back to life. He can bring our hearts back to life. Mm. And the heart can become dried and, you know, lifeless like that dry earth. But then the water, the rain comes from the sky and brings it back to life. This Quran is the nourishment of our souls, the nourishment of our hearts and our spirits. قَدْ بَيَّنَّا لَكُمُ الْآيَاتِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. Allah says, I'm explaining all of this to you so that you think and reflect on it. And that's what we're trying to do here.
SubhanAllah. It's just like it flows together so beautifully. And I think like when you take time, this is just a good example of like when you read the Quran, when you give it a shot, when you actually kind of like connect with it, you know, you can spend 5 minutes talking about it. Right now, I think we've been on here for 26 minutes, but 16 of those minutes were Sherlock, you know, laying down, rolling around. You spend just 10 minutes going over the Quran. It's like you just have this entirely new perspective. And this is hopefully the goal of what we're doing every night, is we're just trying to read some verses, spend some time thinking about this. Maybe we can continue this after Ramadan at some frequency.
Yes.
We just kind of do a little bit of Quran topic on a certain theme. And, you know, you don't need Sheikh Abdul Nasser or myself to do this. You know, you can open up the Quran, you can read it, and you can feel these things, and you can reflect on these things. We're not sitting here.
Ustad has a really great system where he encourages us, right? Get a translation of the Quran, start reading from it, and then just kind of just sit with it for a while. Think about it, right? Yeah. Maybe even if it helps, kind of talk it out loud. Like, well, what are you getting out of this?
You know, ask yourself some questions about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Take like a little pencil and, you know, kind of jot some things down in your margins. Like, here's my little reflection. Here's my little reflection.
We handed out pens for people to take notes for their Qurans, and people actually asked if it was haram.
Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, has a chapter in his Sahih where he says it's a chapter about the permissibility of writing in your Mus'haf.
Yeah. And you have great companions who used to write notes in line with their with the verses. You know, obviously they understood the difference between what was their, you know, what was their reflection and what was the verse. But the point still stands that they used to write, you know, they used to write it, and they used to kind of like give us, or they used to give themselves like little footnotes in the margins. You know, sometimes even underneath, just to kind of teach themselves and reflect. And these are, you know, they used to have their own personal, like, masahif. They used to have their own personal copies of the Qur'an. And when you study the science and the history of the Qur'an, what you learn is, like, each companion kind of had their own little journal, like, Qur'an journal, you know? It wasn't, like, quite a commentary. I mean, obviously it was.
But it was, like, little annotations.
Yeah, it wasn't kind of like how we imagine tafsir. It was more so, like, their reflections of what they read during that verse. Like, Aisha radiallahu anha, she had one. Ibn Mas'ud had one. Yes. All these companions, they had them, you know, and so it's something that everybody should do. You should have a Mus'haf, you should have a Quran, a translation, of course, if it's even better, because a translation loses some of the status that Arabic Quran might have with needing wudu and things like that. But nonetheless, you know, you should still have, you know, reverence for it. But at the same time, you can write in it, you can highlight it, you can circle things. You know, yeah,
and there's just it's just, you know, like you said, Ustad, perfectly, that there's just a, you know, ease to it where you just kind of have it in your backpack. Mm-hmm. You know, you can just kind of take it out in your lunch break, or if you're taking the train to work or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, exactly. So I hope and pray that everybody, you know, we only have a few more nights of this. Tomorrow night, obviously, we're having the Qiyam, inshallah, in lieu of this, so we won't be having this, but inshallah, on Sunday night, Monday night, and then Tuesday night, we'll be having this, inshallah. But I hope one thing that everybody's taken from this, as opposed to just kind of like listening, which of course I hope and pray that everybody benefits from that, is I hope that everybody feels inspired and confident to be able to open the Quran and to reflect. You know, we've sat in Quran studies before, Sheikh, and people have said things when I asked what your reflection is on this, and they've said things that have blown my mind.
Oh, yeah,
and they've actually said things that, like, some of the great scholars of tafsir have said, and they didn't even realize it.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, when I read this verse, it reminds me of this. And literally you open up another tafsir and you see, you know, the mufassir writes like, oh, this verse, you know, if you read it in line with this other verse, then it gives you a beautiful meaning. And I was like, wow. So people, you know, Allah has made the Quran so miraculous, but one of the miracles is that everyone can connect to it.
Absolutely. So there's a verse in the Quran that's one of the meanings of it. لَقَدَ أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ كِتَابًا فِيهِ ذِكْرُكُمْ. That the Quran is just very intuitive and it talks to you. The Quran just talks to you. And so you'll be able to really kind of feel the Quran. What Ustad pointed out, just to wrap up, you know, because we've been going for a half an hour. So qalamlive.com is the link. I posted it in the comments, but qalamlive.com. So if you go there, you'll be able to watch the whole program. And you can just go there right now and set up even a reminder so you don't get late or miss any part of the program. So inshallah, that'll be tomorrow. So instead of this nightly reflection, we'll be having that. And that's going to be really awesome. You'll get to hear from Sheikh Mikael and Mufti Kamani and Ustad. And it'll just be a really beautiful program, inshallah. So please do join us for that tomorrow. And lastly and finally, we request you very humbly support the work that we're doing. Go to supportqalam.com and donate generously, and you know, share the link with family and friends. We are happy to be of service. Really, honestly, that's the truth. It's such a privilege to be able to, you know, study the Book of Allah and study the life of the Prophet and then share it with y'all. So alhamdulillah, we're very happy. Ustad, if there's anything else?
I think we're good to go, Sheikh. We'll see everyone tomorrow night for our annual Qalam Qiyam, inshallah.
All right. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.